We're joined today here in Spain by Chris McCann of Blevins Fanks. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well, thanks, Howard. And yourself?
I'm very well. And we have an interesting topic to discuss, socially responsible investing. Chris, the recent COP26 meeting in Glasgow grabbed the headlines and dominated much of the world press for a fortnight. The discussions covered various important issues for our future. And there were quite a few references to ESG investing. What is ESG investing?
Well, Howard, today many investors want their money to align with a higher purpose beyond profit. And so sustainable investing is sweeping across the globe. Once considered an afterthought in the business world, it's quickly become a frame of mind with a $1 trillion potential. As the name suggests, ESG is all-encompassing and goes far beyond the environment. ESG is the use of environmental, social, and governance factors to inform investment decisions. The E stands for environmental factors, which include climate risks, resource scarcity, and clean energy. The S stands for social factors, which includes diversity, human rights, and cybersecurity. And the G stands for governance, which includes factors such as business ethics, transparency, and corruption. And for many people, ESG investing goes beyond the three-letter acronym to address how a company serves all its stakeholders, workers, communities, customers, shareholders, and the environment.
Who and what are ESG companies?
ESG investing is investing in companies that score highly on environmental and societal responsibility scales, as determined by third-party independent companies and research groups. Bloomberg, S&P, Dow Jones Indices, Just Capital, and MSCI are a few of the most well-regarded ESG research companies. When looking at each of the three criteria, environment, social, and governance, these research companies will ask a number of questions. For example, in relation to the environment, what kind of impact does a company have on the environment? This can include a company's carbon footprint, toxic chemicals involved in its manufacturing processes, and sustainability efforts that make up its supply chain. As regards social, how does the company improve its social impact, both within the company and in the broader community? Social factors include everything from LGBTQ plus equality, racial diversity in both the executive and the staff overall, and inclusion programs and hiring practices. It even looks at how a company advocates for social good in the wider world, beyond the limited sphere of business. In relation to governance, they will ask how the company's board and management drive positive change. Governance includes everything from issues surrounding executive pay to diversity in leadership, as well as how that leadership responds to and interacts with shareholders. So, having considered these factors, ESG research firms produce scores for a wide range of companies. Scores generally follow a 100-point scale. The higher the score, the better a company performs in fulfilling different ESG criteria.
As we're being encouraged to rethink what investments we hold, I suppose how we hold them takes on a greater importance.
Well, look, in actual fact, as Brett and I have mentioned over previous months, it's always important to consider how your investments are held to maximise your overall returns, whether they're in ESG investments or not. It's always essential to ensure they are held in such a way to provide protection from tax and to minimise the cost of holding and managing them.
So how can someone find and invest in ESG companies? Is this easy to do?
It's very easy to do. Listeners simply need to contact us. At Blevins Franks, as a matter of course, we incorporate responsible investing within our advisory services. We also offer a specific range of investments that take a more active approach to investing by companies and initiatives that have particular environmental and sustainable goals at their core. As part of a client assessment, we would normally discuss a client's ESG preferences to ensure that the most appropriate and suitable investment solutions are recommended.
Do many people already invest in ESG? And do ESG companies tend to perform well?
Well, Howard, as regards the size of the market, the 2020 Global Sustainable Investment Review, which maps the state of the sustainable and responsible investment of major financial markets globally, showed assets under management reaching US$35.3 trillion, equating to 36% of all professionally managed assets across all regions. ESG is definitely changing the nature of investment flows. As regards the rate of change, based on data produced by JP Morgan Asset Management as of June 30th this year, the share of total net flows into sustainable strategies has increased significantly. For example, in the US, from 1% in 2016 to 22% in 2020. And in Europe, from 5% in 2016 to 48% in 2020. As regards performance, there is a misconception that you need to be willing to give up returns in order to invest responsibly. In fact, studies have shown that companies with strong ESG ratings have illustrated stronger performance, higher dividend payouts, and stronger earnings stability historically on average. They have also illustrated the following attributes: lower cost of capital, less exposure to systemic risk, lower volatility, and higher profitability.
It all sounds good, and it all sounds like the world has woken up to something new, don't you think?
Yeah, it used to be the case that there was this, misconception that ESG investments would generate poorer returns. But I think it's a demand and supply issue that we're seeing at the minute, which is driving prices of these types of companies higher.
Yeah. Well, despite that, I presume the usual investment principles apply. For example, in diversification important when investing in ESG companies or funds.
Yeah, whilst many ESG indexes have recently outperformed broad equity indexes, like the Russell 1000 or S&P 500, they've done this in part because of the greater percentage of technology companies they contain. So, as always, it's important to have a well-diversified mix of sectors represented in your portfolio to decrease the risk that poor performance in one sector does not have a proportionately large impact on your overall portfolio. In general, the higher your concentration to one strategy, asset class, geographic region, or manager, the greater the risk. The best way to limit risk is diversification. By spreading your investments across asset classes, geographic regions, market sectors, and managers, you limit your exposure to any one area.
Well, before investing, how can we establish what our risk profile is? And then, how do we build an investment portfolio around that?
Well, at Blevins Franks, we follow a simple, disciplined process. The first step is to agree what your objectives are. The second step is to agree upon a plan to achieve your objectives. And the last piece of the puzzle is to decide upon a suitable, well-diversified portfolio to achieve your plan and ultimately your objectives. As part of this process, from a risk point of view, We take each client through an academically designed suitability process, which helps us to determine their attitude to risk. With this information, we can ensure that they have the potential to generate the returns they require, but also that they do not take on too much risk. Having put the plan in place, it's then essential to have good quality investment managers to make investment decisions on a day-to-day basis. And it's also essential to have a trusted advisor to ensure that you're patient and stick to the plan. If any listeners would like to learn more about our approach, they simply need to contact one of our local partners.
I suppose once you've established your investment portfolio, how often should you review and perhaps adjust it?
Well, good financial planning is not a set and forget exercise. Not only does everybody have their own unique set of circumstances, aims and requirements, these often change over time. This may be the result of moving into a different stage of life, such as approaching retirement, or following a major event such as relocating to a different country or receiving an inheritance. Or you may simply change your mind about what you want to achieve. External influences such as changes in the law or tax rules may also prompt a strategy rethink. This being the case, you should review your financial planning at least once a year to keep it on track. But if anything significant happens that might affect the effectiveness or suitability of your portfolio, make sure you bring this forward. With today's challenging and changeable climate, regular reviews are even more important to help control risk and encourage a positive effect on portfolio performance. The key to bringing all this together is ensuring you take personalised expert advice from a regulated advisor such as Blevins Franks. With the right strategy in place, you can protect and grow your wealth in real terms, not only during your lifetime, but for the next generations to enjoy.
And the best way to contact, I guess, is the Blevins Franks website.
Yes, Howard, as always, listeners may visit our website, blevinsfranks.com. They will be able to find all the contact details of their local partners. Should they wish to complete a contact form, somebody from Blevins Franks will be in touch with them with the most suitable next step.
Excellent. We'll chat again in a fortnight's time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Howard. Look forward to it. Bye for now.